It's time for WNCW's More to the Story for this week. My name is Paul Foster. For the month of February, as we do each month, we want to bring in the Asheville Citizen Times to find out some of the latest about stories that are taking place there. And joining us is the editor and columnist of the Citizen Times, Casey Blake. Casey, welcome back.
Thanks, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Casey, let's begin with the recent story. The headline read, Asheville Affordable Housing, more than 870 new units proposed in 2 years. And we'll let you go from there. And I know this was a story written by Joe Burgess.
Yes, that's right. This is the story that we've been writing for 10 years and I think are going to be, you know, writing for 100 more. He's just delving into the situation that we're in right now in Asheville with affordable housing. So some strides have been made. The city's made some pretty significant investments, largely with the help of that affordable housing bond that taxpayers agreed to here in recent years. Folks are looking at costs for rentals, especially, that just so far outpace wages. It's a crisis level, and they just cannot build units quickly enough.
With Asheville continuing to be such a popular place, it's a place someone would like to have a footprint, a place to call home, a place to have a job, and so on. And that brings us to the study that Joel talked about in this story, showing that not far from 50% of all renters are cost burden, meaning they spend, what is that, Casey, at least 30% of their income on housing.
That's exactly right. And that number is really key because that's sort of the number that folks use to decide the economic health of the folks who actually are renting in an area. And especially in a town like Asheville, where, you know, wages are not keeping up, where we are a tourism-based economy and so many folks are working in the service industry. This recent push for a new living wage is very much tied to that, that if folks are having to put a third of everything that's coming in directly into housing, that doesn't leave a whole lot left for healthcare and food and emergencies, and it puts people in a really tough position.
The article talked about what the average rent used to be in Asheville, and I think it went back some 5-6 years ago, talking about if you were lucky, you got something at $1,000 a month, but that cost has gone up, hasn't it?
That's right. So in 2014, the average rent, although it's even hard for me to believe, was $1,000. And now, years later, dating back to last year, it was closer to $1,350. So when you do the math, when you sit down and go down the numbers line on average income and on living wages, even swinging that median is a big challenge for most folks. And I'll tell you, as someone who lives in the city, $1,350 sounds like a dream. That sounds tough to find in the city.
Where were things kind of left at this point when those council members that serve on this housing committee had that last meeting? Where do they hope to go next?
Well, they've got their eyes on a couple of big projects. Of course, this Lee Walker Heights renovation, which is a 96-unit subsidized housing complex. They're hoping for big things there and for mixed use as well. I think one of the newer, more ambitious projects that they have their eye on is the Deverview Apartments complex over here, not far from me in West Asheville. That would be 300-some-odd mixed-income units. There's a 60-acre property there with potential for all sorts of things like childcare and a school and a career center. So I think that's something of a pie in the sky, but at the same time, you know, something that's going to be a necessary pie to have if folks are going to be able to afford to live here.
My guest is Casey Blake, the editor and columnist with the Asheville Citizen Times, here on More to the Story from WNCW. Casey, let's jump to another story. This concerns Scott Burnett. He's the fire chief of Asheville, and I understand he's been named in a discrimination lawsuit.
That's right. So this is, an ongoing, really, really difficult case for Division Chief Joy Ponder, who filed a lawsuit some time ago. But the news here is that the city was really the only entity named in the November suit alleging, you know, discrimination against Ponder. But now the current fire chief, Scott Burnett, who has been in charge for many, many years, has been named as an individual defendant in the suit.
What are some additional details that we know about her and what she claimed happened?
Yes, Joy Ponder, who is the first woman to reach the Asheville Fire Department's third highest rank of division chief, she filed this suit November 17th in a district court, essentially alleging a federal sex discrimination suit against the city. So she was saying that, you know, despite an outstanding record, including oversight of 12 stations, they gave much of her work and duties that she felt were hers to men.
And in our remaining time, Casey, we want to bring up, and this has to do with the pandemic. We can't talk about the pandemic where it's at some point down the line we have to talk about our children, our schools and education as well. And that brings us to Asheville City Schools saying that they'll be returning to in-person learning, what's known as Plan B.
Yes, that's right. And this decision from the city, I should note, comes on the heels of another decision from the county to return even a little bit sooner to return to learn. So, yes, the city is going to be moving from Plan C, which they had been operating under, to Plan B for K through 12 to opt in for in-person learning. And gosh, I mean, these are just the decisions that are absolutely never, ever going to make everyone happy. You know, teachers and parents are really divided on this, on whether or not they should be going back at all and to what extent. So it's a challenge for school boards to make good decisions for all of their kids.
And have I got this right when we're talking about this Plan B? Is that the one where there are so many students that come in the classroom just like on what, Monday, Tuesday, others on Thursday, Friday, and that kind of thing?
That's right. So Wednesdays stay virtual only, and then there's sort of a, you know, revolving door so that, you know, as few kids as possible are physically in the same place as they can while they're still, you know, getting that in-person exposure. It's a Rubik's Cube, I know, but I think it sounds like about as safe as they can make it to have that revolving schedule.
We've only touched bits and pieces of what's going on at the Asheville Citizen Times. Well, you guys stay so busy, but remind our listeners out there if they would like to continue to follow you folks online and how, of course, they could get their hands on the newspaper on a regular basis.
Yeah, thanks for that, Paul. So, of course, you can pick up a paper at your local store, subscribe. A great option, especially in the pandemic, though, is a digital subscription online, and you can find that at citizentimes.com and find us on Twitter and Facebook at Asheville and at the Asheville Citizen Times. So that's where you'll have the latest.
Thank you, as always, from the Asheville Citizen Times, our guest, Casey Blake.
Thanks, Paul.
Podcast of More to the Story, also available at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.